All right, so it's another episode of Talking Real with Real Teams. And today's guest, super excited, we've got Melissa Carbonell, and she is going to kind of drop some knowledge on us. She's coming out of Fort Lauderdale, and so we're just going to have a lot of fun. We're just going to riff today because there's going to be a lot of good little nuggets for you guys out there, especially if you're in a kind of in a market where you've got a lot of diversity, you got a lot of people coming in and out, and just kind of, you know, how do we survive in a market that never really changes regardless of the economic state of the rest of the country? So Melissa, glad to have you.
Hi, thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I love talking real and I love talking teams. So let's just kind of take it back. So let's talk about the origin story of the team, like why you started a team and what was the needs that you had, and then kind of like how it transitioned into how does real marry with your team and what was the value add piece there?
So I've been in real estate for 25 years, whether it was mortgage or real estate. Okay. But then for several years, I was, let's say, dabbling, which a lot of people do because you have kids and they're busy and it's not that simple. And then when I knew I could dedicate the time, I opened my brokerage. At that point, you're dealing with systems, you're dealing with tech. You buy so much tech that you're not even using it, you know? Yeah. So the tech stack is almost just, I mean, it's just coming off of the sides. You have charges to your credit cards, all the things, and you're not using the tech and it's making you crazy. So that was a huge awareness for me, was like, okay, there's too many things. There's too many options. There's too many tools. There's too much to focus on. So you have to pick a few things and start running with them. So when you're doing your own brokerage and you're an independent brokerage, you have to decide, you know, what's going to be your CRM? What's going to be the website? I can tell you that I have probably spent $20,000 building websites in the last 10 years. Crazy. That's not even the monthly fee. That's just building the websites. So all of that stuff that you're dealing with as an independent broker, and yes, I talked to national brokerages, and yes, I interviewed with one of the ones that was up and coming in the last several years and kind of snatched up everybody. I was interviewing with them before they came to Fort Lauderdale. They were only in Miami at the time. But it just, nothing was a right fit. It's like everybody had a little bit of something, but they just didn't have everything. And for me, culture was another thing where I needed, it couldn't be so old fashioned that I couldn't relate to it. And this is coming from a Gen Xer, but you know, in her 50s, but I'm not old fashioned. I keep up with tech. I keep up with everything. I keep up with, you know, AI and everything new. Like it couldn't be super old. And then the new and up and coming, am I a diva? What am I? Do I fit that culture? I don't know. Sometimes, yeah, maybe, but probably not all the time. So for me, being an independent broker, it was just so much work trying to build something and build the systems that you lose track of building your business and making sure you're in production. I was terrible at hiring in the beginning. So I hired quickly and I fired quickly. So that was something that I had to get accustomed to and learn to do better. But I would say that in the beginning, that's always the pain of being an independent, is trying to balance and find the right support. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the navigating the electronics and the hardware, the software, the website. You know, the problem with websites is that, you know, you can have the prettiest website, but if it doesn't do anything for your business, which we get so caught up, especially as team leaders, is that we're like, In order for us to be the best in our area, we have to have the best website out there in order for, and it's like at the end of the day, like if you keep your team productive and you're doing deals, like it doesn't matter what kind of website you have. Cause we've got agents up, we got brokerages up here that have websites still from like the 90s that haven't been updated yet. And they're still, and they're just crushing it. So
yeah, I just think, you know, I really feel like in the past, and I don't know the timeline, but let's say 10 years ago or before social media really got as aggressive as it is right now. I think when you wanted to validate somebody's professionalism, you went to find their website.
Right.
But I don't think people do that anymore. I think people put their name in a Google search and they see what comes up. And if they have a Google page, if they have Facebook, if they have Insta, if they have all these things, that's really what they're looking for. Because, you know, for the most part, our websites are not going to be the go-to for people to search properties. And in the past, websites were really just for, is this a real company? You know, do they have a real business? Okay, let's look at their, let's look them up and see what their website looks like. But, you know, you were just validating whether it could have been static. It really just had to exist.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. So agents right now, if you're listening to this, like you, there's probably some social proof out there on your websites. You probably need to start cleaning up. Cause if you want to be professional, yeah, get those college pics off your Facebook pages. So
anyway, maybe they work in some people's favor. I don't know.
I know, right? Especially if you're, you know, Southern California, you know, it might work for, you know, or if you're in, you know, Orlando or someplace or Miami where, you know, every day is a party day. You know, exactly. You might want to be like, you know, take as many pictures with the celebrities as you possibly can to get your social proof out there. So
exactly.
So, okay. So we talked about kind of like getting started, kind of the challenges we have as independent brokerages. So one of the things I want to unpack a little bit is, you know, what were the pain points that you had and then the conversion. So one of the things, questions we get all the time, and I actually got this morning, was independent brokerages marrying themselves with Real and then how it is a benefit not only to the team leader, but also to the agents, and then how you balance the cost associated to switching, and then how is the value add piece for the agent?
Okay. So there's a lot of pieces in there.
Yes. Yes. But I think it's really helpful, especially if there's independent brokerages out there watching this and kind of saying, hey, I feel your pain, but how do I sell this to the agent on my team or in my brokerage? So
I would say that the independent broker needs to take an honest look at what they're providing for their team members. Is it high quality tech? Is it constantly being improved? Is it up to date? Is it high quality training and mentorship and access to higher level people who are really skilled in different things, like maybe really skilled in circle prospecting or maybe really skilled in FSBOs? Because what you tend to see in independent brokerages is they kind of have a thing that they do, right? So maybe they're really good at expireds. Maybe they're really good at listings. Maybe they're really good, but not every agent is going to succeed in that environment. And so if they have access to other people who are willing to train them on different skills, then you might see a lot more agents actually be successful within your brokerage because you're not pigeonholing them into just your style of selling. So I think that gave me an open door where typically when I do my onboarding with a team member, we are going through all of the potential lead pillars and saying, let's pick three lead pillars that are going to be your top three lead pillars, not saying this is what our brokerage does. We do Zillow Flex or we do this or we do this. So this is who you need to be. And that way it gives them the flexibility based on their personality. And so with joining Real, I mean, I could probably go on for hours because it was a game changer for me. And all of a sudden I felt the freedom and the comfort to recruit like crazy onto my team, because I'm not worried about payroll. I'm not worried about, is the CRM good enough? I'm not worried about tech. I'm not worried about tracking deals. I'm not worried about training. They're going to have access to everything. They're going to have access to resources. So I realized at that point that I have all of these resources, and then I can just focus on being a team lead and building my team and building each individual up. You know, there's a saying when you're a team lead and you're talking to someone who's at 100% brokerage, right? They go to 100% brokerage because they just don't know. So there are some people that the 100% brokerage is great for them because they just want to dabble and do a little bit, or they're very, like, they don't want to listen to anybody or do anything different than they do. And that works for them. But for the majority of the people there, they're not making any money. But if you go somewhere where you have a team lead and they're guiding you and they're working with you every day on, okay, we're setting up your lead pillars. Now you're doing this training. Now this is what you're going to do. Okay, we set up your ideal calendar week. Okay, this is what you've committed to. And then you have all the tools and the time to spend with each one, because you're not building out all those other systems and trying to learn what tech is out there and what are you missing, because everyone else is already doing that at Real for you. They're already doing it for you. You don't have to do it. Was that rambling?
No, that was good. No, you're good. These are all the challenges that we have as team leaders, is that we want to focus in on what we're really passionate about. And what we're really passionate about is building up our agents, making them excited to get out there and start dialing for dollars and meeting with people and having conversations and not having to worry about, like, you know, when it's payroll on time, or did they get their check, or, you know, oh, I got to go in there and correct this because this split was messed up, or, oh, I got to contact this person because the title company messed this up, or whatever. You can leverage all of those resources with Real. And that's what makes it super nice, is that it's not that one more person that we have to hire and then babysit and maintain and making sure that they're doing their part. When what makes us wired the way we are as team leaders is that, you know, I want to talk about coaching. I want to talk about, like, how do we close conversations and have better buyer's presentations, and how do we sell our listings, and what are we doing for marketing this week, or all the things that really just kind of keep the machine nice and oiled and ready to go, rather than worrying so much about the business pieces of it. That, because we really like to see our agents thrive in the environment that we're trying to create for them, rather than worried about the next person I got to go yell at because the back office stuff is not getting done. You know what I mean?
It's true. I mean, it's so true. And then you have, like, your 941s that have to be filed, and your 940s. And yes, you use a payroll system. And which payroll system? It's all of those things. So what Real did for me was, I mean, I can already tell just from I've only been with Real for about 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's crazy. So what it did for me was it gave me back what my intention was on building this business in the first place. It gave that back to me. It said, okay, you wanted to mentor, you wanted to coach. You know, they say what? You have to ask your mind, your head question and your heart question, right? The head question is, I want to build this business. I've built two big businesses before, not real estate. One was mortgage and one was my husband's logistics company. So I said, I know I can do this. This is what I want to do. This is my head question. Like, I know I can build this. There's things that I want. There's things that I want for my family. And so I want to build this. The heart question is, I want to help agents who get stuck with other brokers unintentionally leaving them out to swim in the middle of the ocean with no assistance. So brokers may be well-intended on bringing them into the fold and saying, yes, you're going to grow here, you're going to whatever. And we hear it all the time. They give them the business cards, and then, you know, they have a cell phone and they're like, here's some trainings and here you go. And that's what you do. That was my heart question. I'm like, it's just wrong. There's people out there that genuinely want to succeed, but they don't know how. They don't have direction. They don't have anybody walking with them every day through the stop, through the steps to be successful. They don't have that help. And they deserve it when they're really willing to put in the time. So that was my heart question. I feel like I'm a mentor, a teacher, and more of a coach. And that was my heart question. And that answered the question for me. So Real allowed me to become that person that I was getting pulled away from by trying to set up systems.
Yeah. And there's all, you know, in our own minds, we're like, no, we can be the next Zillow. We can be the next, you know, whatever it is. And they don't realize, like, the reason why there's brokerages like Real is because it allows us to fast track getting to the end result, which is our happy place. And, you know, I don't want to have to talk to investors and figure out where the next round of funds are coming to build all these systems. And it takes away from the things that make us happy, which is seeing our agents be successful. And at the end of the day, like, you know, it's daunting. It takes up a ton of headspace to be like, how am I going to set up a training portal? How am I going to figure out a way to get marketing out there? And how am I going to figure out how to set up automations for, you know, getting listing flyers out there and all this kind of stuff that just eats up so much ridiculous amounts of time.
Yeah.
When I can say, guys, if you need something, we are already have access to, you know, our workplace. So why are you asking me questions on this right now? Go to workplace and go set up your marketing, and then, you know, we'll help you distribute it to all your socials and stuff like that, you know? You know, or worried about like which sign vendor we're going to use and all this, you know, stuff that just takes up so much headspace, you know? And that's what makes, you know, being team leaders exciting, because then we can focus on, like, I love having agent attraction conversations. Like, that is my most favorite thing ever, is just to try to unpack like where people are like stuck and like realizing how much, you know, money they're spending on things that are not building their business. And one of the things is like, you know, office fees and franchise fees and all these fees, and then the fees for sake of fees, you know, and people don't really, you know, do the math of like, oh yeah, I guess it makes more sense to just leverage all of this through, you know, and this is what I use the analogy of like a computer, you know, like Real is the Intel chip inside of our team. And so then everything is powered by Real, but we are still our team and we still have our team culture, but then we can piggyback off of all of the stuff that Real has to offer and the expanded culture through Real. And so when I start having this conversation, they're like, oh, really? Like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I have a business without borders.
Yeah.
How's your business doing?
It's true.
And then, you know, people that have, especially in the independent broker space, they feel like they're isolated to their little town that they live in. And they're just like, they feel like there's nothing else. We just have to sling more houses. That's it. Sling more houses and then we'll feel better. And I'm like, no, you're just creating new problems when you sling more houses, you know? Yeah. And that's the great thing about Real is providing solutions to these things. And they're constantly developing new ways to solve the ultimate equation, you know?
So for me, Real built the kitchen. They stocked it with all the pots and pans. They stocked the spices. They put all the food in the fridge and all the food in the pantry. And all I have to do is cook.
Yeah.
I just have to make something. And so I focus on agents to my team, agent attraction, marketing campaigns. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got all the fun stuff left. I can do that.
Yep, building marketing, building lead generation, and then just going out there and being in the field. You know, those are my favorite things to do. And then as well as I love when agents come up to me and they're like, okay, I have some new problems. Okay, what do we need? How do we fix them? You know, and I'm like, okay. And then I get to be very tactical and I get to use my brain on these things rather than trying to figure out all this back office stuff that I hate.
Right. That really doesn't feel like you're making any progress. Right. So it's, yeah. And it's, you're like, I would be better off just producing. Like, you know, why am I doing this? And you're right. You can't compete with that bigger, the bigger financial company, the financially backed company. You're competing with them. Why? Like, why do you want to do that? For me, probably one of the top things that I talk about in any agent attraction meetings is the culture. So I am, like we discussed, from Tom Ferry Coaching. It's a very collaborative community. Once you go into elite or higher levels, it's very collaborative. It's very sharing resources. I run a team mastermind every other Wednesday with team leads across the country. They provide us, here's my recruiting package. Here's my onboarding package. Here's my commission structure. You know, we're all sharing information among each other. And so it was so easy for me to go from that environment that I'm very accustomed to into Real, because Real has the same environment. Everybody's sharing resources. Everybody's collaborative. Everybody wants to help everybody else. You want to see people succeed. So that was a natural thing for me to go from that group of people. Not that I've left that group of people. It's the same. It's like I'm getting double. I've got the best of both worlds. So I feel like that culture thing was huge for me. The fact that I love to call all the agents that work at Real my coworkers. You know, I love that level. I think that's so great. Like, those are my coworkers. And I was explaining it to an agent attraction meeting I had the other day. And I said, look, you know, I call them my coworkers. We're all working here together. And I said, you can be sitting here in the same city as me. And in the past, you might've thought that I'm your competition, but I'm not your competition. I'm your coworker. I said, drive around your neighborhood and see how many signs you see that are from other counties. Where are those realtors coming from? That's your competition. Now I'm not talking about within Real. I'm talking about in your area, right? Yeah. So I'm like, that's what needs to change. You know, we can be a team. We can help each other. I'm building four, which I'm glad you gave me the mic information and all of that, because I'm taking four workspaces in my office and building studios for people to shoot content. I'm going to invite agents to come here and shoot content from all over, my competition and my coworkers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Because that's the culture of Real.
Yeah. When you were mentioning, like, you know, how many signs are in your neighborhood that are from outside your area, which tells me that they don't have an abundance mindset, or they have not learned through collaboration, having a very good collaborative environment, how to dominate their area. So the challenge is then they decide that they're not good enough for their own area. So they have to expand outside of their area because they haven't learned how to be that dominant force in their own area. And we see that a lot here. It's like, stop chasing deals and attract more deals.
Right. You know?
and that's what ends up happening is we're like, oh, I got to drive 3 hours to go get this listing. And I'm like, why? What? It's more cost effective to just refer that out. And the great thing is that Real's so huge right now that we can just refer it to another Real agent in that area.
So I am actually doing a co-listing right now with a Real agent from Orlando.
That's awesome.
Co-listing, we're splitting it 50-50. And, you know, I got a couple of head cocks like, what? And I'm like, well, it's a $700,000 listing. So it's like somebody gave me a $350,000 listing, right? So what's the difference? Because we all know it's the same amount of work.
Yeah.
Right. So 350, 700, you know, there's a price break where it all sort of is the same cost, the same expectation for marketing and time. And he, we are working it from our end down here because it's closer to us. He came down for the open house. It was his relationship. He shot video for us, and then he helps any way he can. He went through the whole listing agreement with me in the beginning. We were on a three-way call, you know, like we did the whole thing. We did the CMA, we did the whole process. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to work it. And I'm happy about it. I think it's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how we can be, how that collaborative, even, you know, across the entire state, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So I want to touch on a couple things real quick that are a little bit more tactical. So the first one is, what are you guys doing for lead gen right now?
Okay. So around the listings, two of the listings, they're pretty hot. One especially. So, one of them is in a neighborhood. So circle dialing, circle prospecting, you know, going through, trying to drum up more sales from around that. I use Red X. So we buy the databases on Red X. I'm testing some of the newer, because in Red X, you can break it down on how long they've owned their property. And I think some of the newer ones have more accurate information. So that's good. So then we're able to get more of the phone numbers are more accurate. So that's one of the things we're doing. Hour of Power. So we're doing the Hour of Power, calling, you know, touching base with everybody in our contact list, trying to reach as many people as possible, prospecting. My coach says prospecting is people you don't know. Lead follow-up is people you do know. One thing that I've never done really is manage my database properly. So that is something that we're doing now with more team players, because anytime I get a deal, I'm just like, if I have somebody helping me with the deal, then I can get more deals, right? So then it's like, all right, let's work this together. Then you're going to do that showing, or you're going to do this. And then I feel like I can just keep trying to bring more lead gen.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things. I have a pretty big network, so that's super helpful. That's pretty it. And then agent count is obviously something.
Yeah. So how many agents do you have on your team right now?
Six. Yeah.
Are you planning to expand into into more than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So in terms of your structure of your team, do you guys, what's your team split look like?
So the whole team doesn't share in all of the deals. We don't have that set up. I don't know if some brokerages do have that set up, but I don't even know how that would work, because some people are always going to work harder than others. I don't see how you could do that. So I silo. So let's say I'm a team with Lisa, right? So whatever deals that we're getting as a team, whether it's from prospecting together, you know, calling together resources, then I do a 45-55. And 45-55 was part of the encouragement for the $12,000 cap. Okay, so that I give them the 55, it helps them pay the cap. I am going to do more business because I have more people, right? So I have more people to share even my own deals with that I couldn't manage everything the same. So 45-55, it's 75-25 for self-generated. I don't have office fees. I don't have any of that stuff. I own my office condo. It's free and clear. Like,
nice. Great.
So not really a huge, it's only 1,000 square feet. So obviously I'm going to need another space eventually, but it's enough for right now. Because not everybody works from here. It doesn't make sense for them to work from here. So that's what I have everyone. The only fees that they have are the fees that Real has, the 250 to join, the cap, and then later on the per file fee. Yeah.
Nice. And are you guys doing any Zillows or any of that kind of stuff?
I have them in my system. I don't buy them anymore, but I do have some that I know that there's money in there. So we'll probably go back and follow up with some of them, but I've shut all of that off. The problem with that I found with Zillow and Realtor in this area is a couple of things. One, they tell you that the median price in this area is, let's say, $650,000, right? In the zip code you want to buy in. Let's say I want to buy in a particular zip code at $650,000. I say this all the time. I've made video about this because it's so frustrating. But then they're sending you $250,000 leads constantly. Like, that's the majority of what you're sending me. So that was my issue with Realtor, because I said, okay, you should only be charging me based on what you're sending me, not based on what the median price is in that area. Okay. So unless you're going to consistently send me $650,000 leads, I'm not going to pay that inflated price for them.
Right.
The other problem is that we're a vacation market and we have condo hotels and everybody sees those, and they automatically like want information about them, not realizing that the monthly maintenance fee is $1,500 or, you know, just a crazy amount. So yeah, they look beautiful, but at the same time, they're very expensive and you can't ever live in them. You have 110, well, some of them you can, but you know, for the most part, nobody really wants the condo hotel. That's not really what they're looking for. Like, 1 in 20 people actually contacting you about it even knows what that is.
Right.
So a lot of these leads turn into that.
So it's a ton of research with no, you know, actual traction, because it's just, and we run into that here in Wyoming too. We have a lot of people that are like, they have this misconception that Cheyenne and Wyoming is cheap because we just have less people that live here. And so they feel like, oh, I want a piece of land, you know? And then when they realize that, you know, that 5 acres is 200 grand. And then they're like, oh, well, that's too much. It's too expensive or whatever, because they have known nothing about Wyoming. And then, you know, we're buying these leads that are just a bunch of research and running around that never any go anywhere. What we found is the best way to lead gen is either sphere of influence or like Google PPC and Facebook ads, because at least you own the amount of leads that you come in contact with. And then it's just a matter of, you know, the amount of touch points that you have. So it's just constantly working your list, you know, working, you know, calling those people, making good notes in your CRM, because if you don't have good notes, then you go back and then you're like, what was that code for? Dang it. And then you got to call and be like, you know, and then they get them on the phone again and you don't know what your notes were. So you're like, yeah, we talked about that last time. And you're like, oh yeah. We did talk about that last time, you know? So
like YouTube ads, things like that, that's the direction that we're going. So we're about to run a condo campaign that should be pretty successful. A lot of condo laws have changed here. I'm very well versed in it. I used to be on a board for 4 years here where I own my office condo, and I was present on the board. We went through a lot of construction. So I fully understand the new Senate bill that's coming down, and we have a whole campaign built out for it and landing page. And so that should drive a lot of traffic. We're going to see a shift in condo pricing for the next couple of years, and then it'll come back. But nice. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see how your YouTube ads go.
Yeah.
I did YouTube ads early on in the YouTube ad space, and it did a lot of good for my channel in terms of getting eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like people taking action, I'm not really sure. But again, this was pre-COVID. So 2018. So I'd be curious to see what kind of call to actions and split testing that you'll be doing with that.
So we're doing a landing page lead capture with a phone name, email to sign up for 5 questions. All condo Florida owners should be asking their board right now.
Oh yeah.
New stuff. So that's the downloadable, right? So then they'll get that. We've already created that. And then they can register for my webinar that I'm doing April 26th, right after our Realx. So it's at 5:30, I think. I'll go check the times and make sure it doesn't mess up. And then I'll do an hour long deep dive on some of this stuff, because there's a lot of life safety systems and a lot of complicated stuff with engineers and architects being required where they were never required before. in the end, this will be a good thing. In the beginning, it's going to force people on lower incomes or fixed incomes out of some of the condominiums. And, you know, if a condominium fails, the developer's going to come in and buy it. And I mean, the condominiums are businesses. I mean, they're nonprofit businesses. And if too many people in that condo are, you know, struggling, it could be a big issue. But on average, I think you're going to see about 20%, 30% of older buildings, you're going to see those move off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to shift gears with the cost of, you know, rates and the cost of business, you know, of living just to, you know, like, you know, the purchasing power is so much less now because of the rates and everything. So it'll be
interesting. I know, but I hear it all the time. People say, oh, well, I wish rates would go back to 3%. And I'm like, no, you don't. I promise you, you don't. You don't want rates. We are short on inventory, still about 6 million properties across the nation. You do not want rates to go back to 3% because everybody can afford everything. And we're going to have chaos like we had before.
And well, like that and the price of the average home, I think, was it nationwide during the pandemic was like 480,000 was the average. You know, and, you know, statistically speaking, we were already on a trajectory of houses doubling every 10 years anyways.
Yeah.
So like you can't have first time home buyer homes be worth $1 million in 10 years from now. Like it's not sustainable.
No.
So we have to figure out a way to at least slow the roll down a bit so that when, you know, at least try to get that $1 million mark, at least another 15, maybe 20 years from now, you know. And then maybe, I mean, the ultimate challenge, and we're kind of shifting gears on this podcast a bit, but it's okay because this is good stuff for people to understand what's going on in the real estate world. But at the end of the day, like, you know, the only way that we're going to be able to stabilize the market is if there's going to be massive government subsidy, because there's just no way that you can have real estate, which is an appreciating asset, to then just depreciate for the sake of depreciation for 5 years.
Like, well, that's so funny that you said that, because I say this all the time and I'm like, if I stood on a box and made this my platform, I'm pretty sure I'd wind up dead. But but I'm like, there's one simple change in the tax code that if they took that away, we would have housing.
Which is what?
And you just said it.
Oh, depreciation. Yeah. And the problem is no one would buy real estate if they knew it was going to depreciate. It makes no sense.
No, but we're giving depreciation on an appreciating asset and pretend.
Oh, because we are business people. The problem is, though, is that business people don't buy single family houses, right?
No, it's very smart. I'm not saying it's not a smart move. I'm just saying, look, I would be very unliked if I really promoted that heavily, but it truly would solve the problem, because you wouldn't have so much incentive to buy so many investment properties, and there would be an unloading, you know, over time of that stuff if they couldn't get depreciation.
Right.
I mean, I've been a real estate investor, so I get it. But
yeah, but depreciation in the sense of the tax code is only good for the investor. It's not, it's irrelevant for the average homeowner.
Well, it's not in the sense that what makes it relevant is the fact that they can't buy because there's limited inventory, and that would release inventory.
Right. Right. But I guess what I was saying was like depreciation in the sense of the markets, you know what I mean? Like, you know, for us, it's great because we could depreciate it through the amount of money that we spend.
Sure.
But the average homeowner can't take advantage of that because it's not something that they even know is available.
Yeah.
But the challenge then at the end of the day for the average homeowner is that if the asset itself was depreciating on the market, no one would buy houses.
No,
it all rent.
No, of course not. But there's no depreciation on a primary residence.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just a balance that has no end, because I mean, if I buy a house today, it's going to be worth more tomorrow, no matter what happens in the economy.
Yeah, it's true. What do you think about? Okay, so baby boomers. So you think there'll be some kind of unloading of inventory during that, I think, over the next, there has to be, and because you're going to see consolidation, right? So you're going to see they're having to move in with loved ones, going to homes, different things. So you're going to see a lot of that. So I think that will, that may catch us up a little bit more so that we're not down 6 million houses. Maybe we'll be down 3 million or something, but that's a huge population.
Yes, but the challenge to take advantage of those homes, because they're already out there. It's already, you're already seeing it.
Oh, that's what I get
it's
a lot
all
of.
Off market. It's all off market. So like if you don't have, as realtors, if you're watching this, you need to figure out a way to start marketing off market, because, and how to stack data to get the right lists.
Yeah.
Because in the investor space, we all know how to do all this stuff. Yeah. But the average real estate agent is like listening to me right now and going, what are you talking about? So what I'm talking about is that data is everywhere. And you have to know how to extract this data. And there are really good pieces of software out there that are able to stack this data based on a set and finite checkpoints. So an example is people that have owned their homes for at least 10 years. That have at least 60% equity, that are of a certain age, and you can actually pull these lists. And on average, these people are sitting there right now just waiting for that magical phone call and being like, hey, are you interested in selling your house? But yeah. No one, because a lot of times what happens is family has decided that they don't want to have anything to do with grandma anymore. They don't want to deal with the house. It's not my cup of tea. So then the house just ends up sitting there, just either A, depreciating, or B, like grandma's living in the house and she can't take care of it anymore. And they're just waiting for that phone call from somebody to help them out. And then it's just all about training your agents on how to have these conversations around, you know, hey, Miss Jones, yeah. How can I help you? Seems like you guys have owned your house at least since, you know, 1995. And I was just seeing if you might be interested in selling your home. And they're like, oh, interesting that you called, you know, and then you start having this conversation and then building your network. And so like agents should be like getting out there and going to RIAs and things like that and networking with investors, because these houses, there's a ton of them out there. You just got to know how to like, you know, pluck those little low hanging fruit.
Fail, because there's a lot of, memories and compassion. It's a huge change. It's a loss because they're losing the house that maybe they lived in for. So I've done several of them. It is a different type of deal. You wind up helping them clear out the house, helping them do all of those things, you know, and 30 years of things in a home is no joke. So, and it's usually a lot longer sale. Takes a long time to actually prep them and get everything ready so that it can be sold.
Yeah, you're talking 90 days to 6 months sometimes to get the deals closed. But the thing is, if you have a network of investors that you're like, hey, I got an off-market deal coming up, working with Joe, you know, she would like to get it locked up, you know, before it, you know, instead of trying to hit the market. They don't want to deal with showings. They don't want to deal with any of that stuff. They just rather just have an investor come in and scoop it up. And even with a 6% commission on top of the cost, you know, it's still a good deal for the investor, because after it's fixed up and put back on the market, I mean, there's $200,000 worth of equity right there.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I know we went way off track with building a team and
But I mean, this is the future, guys. Like if you're listening to this and you're thinking about like, you know, how am I going to navigate through the changes in the market in the next 3 years? Like, this is it. There's more listings off market right now than you know what to do with. It's just knowing when they present themselves is how to take advantage of these things.
Right. That's true. It is true.
That's awesome. Well, I think we went way, way, way over our normal time, but I think we really plucked at some really good nuggets, I think. And you know, at the end of the day, like if you're thinking about either A, joining a team, or B, like wanting to start your own team, you know, kind of aligning yourselves with what Real Broker has to offer is really the best way to do it. And doing it out of the gate, because I think a lot of indie brokerages and team leads right now are probably thinking, you know, like I woulda, coulda, shoulda done this 5 years ago. Like I hear this all the time. Like if I would have known about this, it's just like, it's just stupid not to, you know, like,
yes.
You know, yes. and the amount of cost savings and trial and error that you could just like skip right over, is just astronomical when you start adding things up. And really at the end of the day, like if you guys really want to know more about Real Broker, just reach out to Melissa. Like she's 3 weeks in and she's already on fire. And she's like, you know what, let's just bring them all, you know? And we say this all the time. It's not if you join, but when.
It's true. It's true. I watched all these humble giants move over and I finally just was like, okay, what's the story? Come on. What's going on?
Yeah. And if you're in other places around the country and you need to collaborate with myself or with Melissa, you know, we can co-sponsor you guys and get you in the business too. Yeah. So there's not one into particular person per se. But you know, we talk about this each and every week about Real. So I'm fired up. I've been with Real since 2021. So, and I'm still here. So obviously there's a good thing that we've got going on here. So if you guys want to know more what's going on with Melissa out in Fort Lauderdale, how can people get a hold of you?
So you can find me on social everywhere. So I'm everywhere. And then cell 954-817-2604. My email, melissa@melcarbonell.com.
That's easy awesome. Enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if you guys want to know what's going on up here, up in Wyoming, you guys can just shoot me a text 307-772-1184. Just text the word Real and we'd be happy to have a conversation. Otherwise, I'm kind of the same as Melissa. You can just, I'm the only JP Fluellen in the United States of America. So there's no other one but me out there, which is amazing. I don't know how I pulled. My parents were really forward thinkers, apparently. And so that's awesome. And I guess that'll just conclude another episode of Talking Real with Real Teams. Catch you guys next time.
Thanks.
Peace. Bye. You made it to the end of this video. If you'd like to see more of what's going on our channel, you could watch that video, you could watch that video, or you could subscribe. Catch you next time. Peace.